Good afternoon, 4:30 and 60 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Courtney Howe.
We can see participation increased from 30% to hopefully something a little over the majority of Kentuckians having their voice heard.
Secretary of State Allison Grimes thinks early voting in Kentucky could increase participation by more than 20%.
Police have identified the victim of a weekend shooting in South Point.
There's a public hearing in Grayson tonight on a proposed medical waste facility.
The Round County boys basketball team hosts Fleming County this evening.
No stock report today because of the Martin Luther King holiday.
Showers and patchy fog likely tonight, lows around 55 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
The Lawrence County Sheriff's Department has identified the South Point man killed Saturday in his pickup truck. Sheriff Jeff Lawless says the victim was 52-year-old Chester Collins. Collins had allegedly been threatening his 50-year-old wife, Amy, who was in the truck with him when her daughter's boyfriend pointed a rifle at Collins and demanded that he release her. When he did not, 29-year-old Robert Miller reportedly fired several shots through the windshield and killed Collins. Miller has not been charged, but Lawrence prosecutor Brigham Anderson says the incident is still under investigation and his findings will be presented to a grand jury.
A 24-year-old Portsmouth man is held on kidnapping and felony assault charges that are said to have resulted in severe injuries to an infant. The Portsmouth Daily Times is reporting that Jared Stanley allegedly took the 2-year-old for the purpose of extorting money from the baby's mother to buy drugs. Police recovered the child from an apartment in the 800 block of Kendall Avenue and say the infant had visible and multiple injuries. The baby was reportedly taken to the Southern Ohio Medical Center and then transferred to Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus. Police describe injuries to the child as serious but not life-threatening. Stanley is held in the Scioto County Jail. In addition to kidnapping and assault, he is also charged with endangering and abusing a child.
Kentucky had more than twice the national average of drug-dependent babies in 2013. Here is Suzanne Duvall.
A recent research letter in the journal JAMA Pediatrics says Kentucky's rate was 15.1 cases per 1,000 live births in 2013, the most recent comparable year. The U.S. rate was 7.3 that year. Both were up substantially from 5 years earlier, and Kentucky's rate jumped another 40% the following year.
Suzanne Duvall is with the Kentucky News Network.
Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent thanks an idea by two of the city's police officials to initiate a community policing program is a good one. Chief Derek Blevins and Captain Kyle Callahan hope that such a program will foster a better spirit of cooperation between their departments, officers, and the town's residents. Trent says the two men are good at developing methods for the MPD to better engage the public.
Looking at ways to just make our town and our residents more involved, more aware of what's going on. So I think it's something that if the plan's done correctly and it's communicated and people are educated about it, I think it could be a positive thing.
Callahan has said that Moorhead's community policing program will start in the next several weeks, with public meetings being held in various neighborhoods around the city.
Carter Judge Executive Mike Malone hopes to clear the air about the building of a medical waste transfer station in his county at a special meeting tonight at 6 o'clock hosted by the fiscal court. Medical Waste Services wants to construct the facility near Carter City. Some residents of that community believe it could create possible biohazards. Malone says, not so, noting the facility will be treating and processing the waste in a heated, high-pressure container and then shipping it to a landfill in Boyd County. He maintains the plant will be completely safe.
There's one in Boyd County. I went over and they kindly gave me a tour of it, and it uses the same process, although it doesn't have a condenser. And they just finished operating it whenever I was there. But the people that were in there were just wearing street clothes. They weren't wearing isolation suits or even latex gloves. And they said the EPA checked them about once a month, for compliance with all the rules.
Malone says no human tissue will be processed at the proposed facility. only bodily fluids. A condenser will be used to help prevent any potential odors.
U.S. Senator Rand Paul says Obamacare ought to be repealed, and then it should be left up to the states whether to expand their Medicaid programs. The Kentucky Republican discussed his alternative plan on Sunday on CNN's State of the Union. He says it would help those in need without adding to the federal debt.
Our goal is to ensure the most amount of people, give access to the most amount of people at the least amount of cost. They say, well, you have a lot of people struggling, we're going to help them. That's fine. Probably we should then raise the taxes on everybody in Kentucky to pay for Medicaid.
Paul says tax credits and the creation of health savings accounts can also lower insurance costs.
Congressman John Yarmuth says many Kentuckians would be hurt if Congress repeals the Affordable Care Act without replacing it. Yarmuth is the only member of the Commonwealth's House or Senate delegation who favors keeping the ACA.
The Affordable Care Act is making an incredible difference across my home state of Kentucky, as in many other places. With our expansion of Medicaid and the success of our state marketplace, Connect, more than 500,000 Kentuckians in a state of 4 million have gained quality, affordable coverage. In Louisville alone, the uninsured rate dropped 81%. In a state with tremendous health needs, we are a national model of ACA success.
Yarmuth spoke on the House floor Friday. He says not even Republican Governor Matt Bevin thinks the ACA should be repealed without a simultaneous replacement.
Governor Bevin has taken to Facebook to discuss Kentucky's noncompliance with the Real ID Act. Details from Tom Latek.
The governor says Kentucky is one of several states not in compliance, so driver's licenses soon won't be able to be used to enter military bases. He says he's been in contact not only with the Trump administration on the issue,
but also with the folks that are currently in and will be in the Department of Homeland Security, that we are working through this to make sure that it will not negatively impact us.
Legislation is before the House Transportation Committee. Last year, Bevin vetoed a bill that would have brought the state into compliance. I'm Tom Latek.
Kentucky's top election official wants to expand early voting in the Commonwealth. Secretary of State Allison Grimes says the state currently permits people who can't make it to the polls on Election Day to cast absentee ballots. However, the Democrat is calling for legislation that allows in-person voting for everyone 12 days before an election and including two Saturdays. Grimes says many clerks once opposed early voting, but are now supporting it.
They realize impact on their offices will be minimal. It's what we are already doing, especially for a select group of people in the state. It's something that we should be doing for everyone. Many of our county clerks are already open on Saturdays, as the bill would provide.
Grimes says 37 states currently allow early voting. She thinks the expansion would boost voter participation by more than 20%.
West Virginia's new governor was sworn into office today, promising to do everything he can to help the state's poor and rid it of a drug epidemic. Democrat Jim Justice says that'll require more money.
There's no question there's waste, and there's no question that we've got to do something about that. But we have to raise revenue. We have got to find a way to raise revenue. We cannot continue to just kick the can down the road.
Justice says he knows Donald Trump well, and he believes the new president will help West Virginia. The new governor is 65 years old and owns coal mines, farms, and other businesses that are now run by his children.
A native of Letcher County and former Democratic congressional candidate says his party needs to level with the people of eastern Kentucky and tell them the truth about coal. Bill Atkins is an attorney in Williamstown who ran against Thomas Massey for the 4th District House seat in 2012. He spoke with CN2's Pure Politics.
Reality is, coal is not going to be the force it was, and it will likely never come back absent a technological marvel. Be aggressive. Tell these people the truth. I recognize the details of these political issues or economic issues, they're pretty dull. People's eyes glaze over. Start telling people the absolute truth. You know, stand with the truth. Fall with the truth, but tell the truth.
Atkins says the price of natural gas has fallen 80% over the last 10 years, and oil is stabilized at $50 to $55 a barrel. He says every coal boom has been shorter in recent times, and every bust has been longer.
A hazard-based program has been awarded a federal grant of $11 million to retrain thousands of coal miners who've lost their jobs in recent years. MSPR's Kinsey Thompson reports.
So far, the Eastern Kentucky Concentrated Employment Program has assisted 3,128 miners through its Hiring Our Miners Every Day program. The program helps men and women learn new skills and create new career paths. 5th District Congressman Hal Rogers says the award guarantees that former miners will have access to the help they need to find badly needed jobs. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Kinsey Thompson.
A couple of Ashland City Commissioners think there's potential for the community to attract a lot more jobs in light industry. That's a push Mayor Steve Gilmore says he wants to make in order to replace industrial employment the community has lost in recent years. Commissioner Matt Perkins says he'd like to see Ashland's welcome mat put out for all types of businesses, light industries among them.
If we need to go to places that have done that successfully, then we shall. I want best practices in place, and I want to make sure we have everything we can in place so a business like that, if they came to town looking at Ashland as a potential spot to locate, we're ready for them.
Commissioner Amanda Clark says Ashland could be a hub for light industry with one caveat.
If we can find the space, we need to identify spaces where we could put light industry.
But Clark agrees with Mayor Gilmore that Ashland does have buildings downtown that have space available.
Kentucky Congressman James Comer says it's his goal to work across party lines on legislation to improve the economy and better people's lives. That's what the Tompkinsville Republican told C-SPAN in a segment of the network series on a new members of Congress. Comer, who was elected last November, says he laid the groundwork for such pursuits when he was Kentucky's Agriculture Commissioner. He pushed a bill through the state legislature setting up a regulatory framework for industrial hemp.
I want to get things done, and that's what we did with this bill. We passed it in the Kentucky General Assembly. When I filed it, the Democrat Speaker of the House, Greg Stumbo, was adamantly against it. The Republican President of the Senate, Robert Stivers, was adamantly against it. The governor, Democrat Governor Steve Beshear, was against it. When you have that scenario, 100% of the time the bill would fail. But we had public support.
Comer says Kentucky is now the nation's leading producer of industrial hemp, and he's expecting the market to expand rapidly. He says the first bill he'll be introducing in Congress will call for deregulating the industry nationwide.
The Kentucky Department of Agriculture has approved more than 12,800 acres for planting hemp. MSPR's Victoria Agee has more.
The department has okayed 209 applications for the research, growing, processing, or handling of hemp. That will bring the total acreage in the state to nearly triple the amount in 2016. 525,000 square feet of greenhouse space has also been approved. Applicants were asked to specify what the focus of their research would be and if the hemp would be used for floral material, grain, or fiber. Also approved were 11 new applications from processors in addition to the 29 previously approved. GPS coordinates were required upon application. The KDA will supply that information to law enforcement agencies before any hemp is planted. Participants must also pass background checks and consent to site inspections. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Victoria Agee.
The number of candidates still in the running to become Moorhead State's next president is now at 5. The Moorhead News reports that MSU's Presidential Search and Screening Advisory Committee plans to interview those individuals at off-campus sites this Thursday and Friday. The list of finalists will then be reduced to 2 or 3, with the members of that group to be featured at public forums on campus in March. MSU Board of Regents Chairman Wayne Martin leads the committee. He says it's important to pick someone who understands the region's needs.
We need to be conscious of the next president being an individual that recognizes the mission of Moorhead State University and the fact that our primary service region is a 22-county area that's economically challenged right now because of a major industry, the coal industry. That's one of the opportunities the next president needs to attack with passion.
Martin hopes MSU's new president will be selected by the end of March. That person will replace Dr. Wayne Andrews, who retires June 30th.
And finally, this afternoon, Governor Bevin will announce the 10 people he has selected for the University of Louisville Board of Trustees tomorrow. The Kentucky News Network's Mike Lindemann has that story.
The governor's post-secondary education nominating committee pared the list of 100 candidates and applications down to 30 for Bevin's review. He made the selections last week with the names to be revealed tomorrow. Bevin says it was quick but thorough.
So I thank those who have worked so quickly, the nominating committee that worked so diligently to expedite this process.
The Kentucky Senate still must vet the selections for the board. I'm Mike Lindemann.
And taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight showers likely, patchy fog through the night, lows around 55 degrees, chance of rain is at 100%. Tuesday, warm, patchy fog early, a slight chance of thunderstorms in the morning, showers throughout the day, highs near 65 degrees, chance of rain at 90%. Tuesday night, cloudy with a chance of showers in the evening, lows around 41 degrees, chance of rain is at 30%. And Wednesday, cloudy skies with patchy drizzle in the morning, highs around 40 degrees. And taking a look at current temperatures around the region, Ashland at 54 degrees, Flemingsburg at 58, Inez at 61, Lexington and Winchester at 63 degrees, and it is 60 degrees in Moorhead.
446, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's great to have you along on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, the state's leading advocacy organization for people over the age of 50, Kentucky AARP, is searching for a new volunteer leader. Greg Stottlemyre reports.
Kentucky's population is aging, and the organization best known for representing people 50-plus is seeking a new spokesperson. AARP Kentucky, with 470,000 members statewide, is looking for its next volunteer state president. Rich Stone Street has been state president in neighboring West Virginia for 3 years. He describes the role as the public face of the group.
I view myself as a lead volunteer. I try to lead by example. Have fun. I'm having a ball. I'm enjoying this greatly. If you think of it as a job, it's probably not for you.
The U.S. Census Bureau says the number of Kentuckians age 65 and older increased 2% from 2010 to 2015, and more than 15% of the state's population is now senior citizens. According to AARP, the volunteer president's position is unpaid, but all expenses are reimbursed. Information is on the group's website, and applications are being accepted through January 31st. Stone Street, now 75, was a college chemistry professor and an organizer for a teachers' union before he retired. He volunteered with AARP for 8 years before becoming state president in West Virginia. Stone Street says he testifies before the legislature, moderates workshops, and does community outreach. He also presides over the executive council, which advises the paid staff.
Probably the most important message that I could ever convey about being president is the volunteer state president and the state director are partners, and they must be in constant communication.
Jim Kimbrough has been in the voluntary position in Kentucky for 6 years, which is the limit for a state president's term. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
448, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. National and international news is coming up at 5 o'clock on NPR's All Things Considered, and Nate has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Funded in part through a grant from the Kentucky Division of Waste Management, a second green recycling trailer will be rotating among Elliottville, Hayes Crossing, Farmers, and at the MMRC Fire Department on Kentucky 801 North. In addition, a green recycling trailer will always be located across from Walmart in the parking lot at the community park. The rotating trailer schedule is online at moorheadrecycling.org.
The Vikings will take on the Panthers. Good afternoon. Reporting from Moorhead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Nathan Gutierrez. To start things off, the Rowan County boys basketball team has an 8 o'clock game at home tonight against Fleming County. With the Vikings at 11-5 this season, Rowan coach Sean Thacker says they're ahead of where he thought they'd be at this juncture of the season, and credits that to his unselfish attitude of his players.
Understanding what it takes to be successful and what it takes to win, and where they've really surprised us is on the defensive end, because that's where you really got to make sacrifices and give yourself and, you know, this bunch has really gotten a whole lot better since the beginning of the year.
Fleming County checks into Cooper Gym at 4-14 this season. Earlier today at Cooper Gym, the Rowan County Lady Vikings snapped the four-game losing streak with a 54-46 win over Belfry. Interim coach Preston Spradlin is calling the Moorhead State Basketball Eagles 87-85 Saturday OVC win over Tennessee State at Johnson Arena. Big, a layup by Treshad Williams with 3.7 seconds to play sealed the deal for MSU, which improved to 3-2 in conference. According to Spradlin, the victory was critical not only for his team, but also for the university and the Moorhead community.
I mean, how about almost 3,000 people here tonight cheering on our guys, and I'm so thankful for that, and I really hope everyone will continue to come out and this crowd can grow, especially when our students come back next week, because our kids play their hearts out. They listen, they're coachable, they're so much fun to be around, and the result is a very good win.
After finishing their recent four-game home stand at 3-1, the Eagles hit the road Thursday to play Austin Peay. Moorhead State women's basketball coach Greg Todd says his ball club ran into a buzzsaw Saturday in losing to OVC leading Belmont 91-59 at Johnson Arena. Led by Kylie Smith's 26 points, the Bruins remain unbeaten in conference by shooting 52% versus Todd's Eagles, also knocking down 10 of their 21 three-point shots.
They just have answers for anything you can do defensively, so they're a top 100 team, very, very good team, and We have to get a lot better between now and next time we play them.
At 14-5 overall and 4-2 in the OVC, the MSU women don't play again until hosting arch rival Eastern Kentucky on Saturday. After coming off a 92-72 win over Auburn this weekend, the Kentucky men's basketball team will have a road contest against conference opponent Mississippi State tomorrow at 7 p.m. Assistant coach Joel Justice spoke with the media earlier this afternoon and believes taking on the Bulldogs will be another great test for his young team.
They're a team that plays extremely hard on both ends of the floor. They're a group that puts pressure on you. And it's going to be a hostile environment, and I think our guys are excited for the challenge, and it's going to be a big Tuesday night in the SEC on the road.
The Wildcats are 15-2 overall. Mississippi State stands at 12-4. David Manning says he's extremely excited to take over as Boyd County's new head football coach. The school recently named the 43-year-old Manning to the job, since he'd been an assistant coach for the Lions the last few years. He expects the transition into his new job to be a smooth one.
You know, the kids are used to me. They know me. They know that, you know, I'm a cut up, but yet a disciplinarian at the same time, and you know, have a good working relationship with them, and just a good hallway relationship with them also, and I think it makes them more comfortable.
Manning replaces John Gillum, who was let go after three seasons at Boyd and an overall record of 10-21. After a 51-yard game-winning kick by Mason Crosby in Dallas last night, the Green Bay Packers will now prep for its conference championship game against the Falcons at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Head coach Mike McCarthy is proud of the fight his team has showed this season and hopes that same toughness carries over on Sunday.
This team's personality is one of a unique energy. They don't swing too high, they don't swing too low, and I think it's really helped us over this course. And it'll help us again this week, because this is going to be a tough football game. I think I'm stating the obvious, it's the NFC Championship.
Kickoff is set for 3:05 on Sunday. And finally for today in sports, with its first game just a month away, the Moorhead State baseball team is starting its preparations for the 2017 season. Coach Mike McGuire says the Eagles will be going through some individual drills for the next 2 weeks before getting into full-scale team practices.
Sometimes individual work and team practice, depending on the weather, aren't that much different, really. If we've got weather's bad, we got to go inside. You know, team practice ends up being a lot like individual work, because we got to go in small groups inside. But hopefully, you know, Mother Nature cooperates.
The MSU baseball team schedule begins on February 17th at Jackson State. That will conclude your sports report. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball will host a doubleheader with Eastern Kentucky University on Saturday. The women's game begins at 5:30 and the men tip off at 7:45. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
And just a quick reminder, because of the Martin Luther King Day holiday, the stock market was closed today, so we will not have our regular report from Bud Luke, but Bud will be back tomorrow.
Taking one last look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight showers likely with patchy fog through the night, lows around 55 degrees, chance of rain is at 100%. Tuesday, warm patchy fog early, a slight chance of thunderstorms in the morning, showers through the day, and highs near 65 degrees, chance of rain is at 90%. Tuesday night, cloudy with a chance of showers in the evening, lows around 41 degrees, chance of rain is at 30%. Wednesday, cloudy with patchy drizzle in the morning, highs around 41 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy skies with lows near 35 degrees. Thursday, cloudy with a 30% chance of rain, highs around 55 degrees. Thursday night, rain with lows near 41 degrees, chance of rain is at 100%. And Friday, showers likely with highs near 61 degrees, chance of rain is at 90%. And taking a look at the current temperatures around the region, Ashland is at 54 degrees, Flemingsburg at 58 degrees, Inez at 61 degrees, Lexington and Winchester 63 and 60 in Moorhead.
And that does it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Nathan Gutierrez, Sean Delaney, Xavier Adkins, Kenzie Thompson, and Victoria Agee. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyer. And from the Kentucky News Network, Tom Latek, Suzanne Duvall, and Mike Lindemann. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Dan Translator, W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Courtney Howell and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.